This is a UC San Diego Blinkcast.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the November Learn at Lunch featuring healthy Mediterranean cooking. It's really a pleasure to have you here. I'm Dr. Rose Lee Josephson. I work for the Faculty and Staff Assistance Program, and we are the folks who put on Learn at Lunch, and we are your campus employee assistance program. We offer free and confidential counseling to everyone who works on campus and their significant others. So again, welcome today. UCSD Catering is putting on a terrific program today, and we have two wonderful people who are going to be our stars. They're Bruce Milson, and he's the UCSD Executive Chef, and we also have Julia Engstrom, and she is the Director of Culinary Development. Both of them have lots of experience, and it's going to be exciting and entertaining. And each of you who are in the audience today have a little card. If you'd like to ask a question, please write down your question, and we will collect them, and then Julia will answer them. So given that introduction, let's give a warm applause to Bruce and Julia.
And the star of the show will probably really be all of us, because we do want some questions, and what you can tell us is going to be really helpful as we cook along. You all have your packet. It's got a really ambitious menu, but we're going to get through that.
I think it was ambitious when we made it up.
It seems like a great idea at the time.
Exactly. And
so what you've already enjoyed are Bruce Milson's fennel spiced olives, tzatziki, and pita chips. What did you think of that?
And the white bean dip also. I like the white bean dip.
Right. I'm going to tell you what we're not going to show you. I want you to talk us through that orange fennel olives, and then we'll go through the bean dip. How'd you do that?
The orange fennel olives are basically, that was like two bulbs of fennel thinly sliced with some onions and garlic sautéed off. And then you just put orange segments in there, orange juice, throw your fennel in, and your olives in and let it sit for about 5 days.
5 days.
The better, the longer it sits, the better it gets. So if you got a month to let it sit, go for it.
Is that at room temperature or in the fridge?
In the fridge.
You're being safe. Because yes. I think you could probably
be a little safer on the campus.
If you insist. Okay. Did everybody here know what a fennel bulb was? Is? Okay. And they're not going to admit it if they don't. All righty. Well, it's a terrific raw vegetable that really brings a lot of that licorice flavor. So, cool. We love that. And then we also have the white bean spread. We went ahead and made that spread. And take a look at your recipe, white bean and sun-dried tomato. What are you going to tell us about beans, Bruce?
Beans are very good for you. We actually soaked the beans ahead of time on both the garbanzos we're using for the hummus, because we use hydrated garbanzo beans rather than canned, so you don't get that canny flavor, that tinny and aluminum flavor you get from most garbanzo beans.
Now, can you do that anytime? Can I do this and have hummus in an hour?
Anytime.
How long is it going to take me to cook
these?
It's getting
old. Soak them overnight. It'll take you about half an hour to cook them.
Yeah.
You can have hummus. You'd have to plan a little bit ahead of time. But
okay.
Then again, food safety and having a party takes a little bit of planning. So I soaked them overnight, cooked them the next morning, and then this is what they look like. And you actually eat these right here. That's why I put them there, and red bell pepper. You can put red bell pepper or basil in, or even parsley in the hummus after we mix it up. Make any flavor you want. Hummus is a good one. But the bean dip's very good. It's very easy to make. It's not on the healthy side, and I'll leave it at that.
Yes, it is, and I'll tell you why it's healthy after you're done.
It's basically just sautéing off, taking your beans, put them in a pan, oven-roasted tomatoes in oil, not sun-dried. Sun-dried's dried out too much. You can use sun-dried tomatoes that are stored in oil, but you're better off oven-roasted. They have a little bit better flavor to them. Mix it all together, mix all the ingredients, and you're good to go.
Well, that's really not the worst nutritional thing you could have done, because the Mediterranean meal plan incorporates traditional healthy living habits of people from the countries bordering the Mediterranean Sea. And I was amazed to see that there were 16 countries that I could identify. So, and that meal plan is something that, it's not a fad and it's not a crash diet. It's a meal plan that doctors and health people from all over the world have figured out really helps reduce incidence of coronary disease and a lot of other diseases. So even though their Mediterranean diet has almost 50% of their diet from fat, it's the good fat. It's this wonderful olive oil, monounsaturated fat. So the rest of the diet would include an abundance of vegetables, legumes, which is what these are, the dried beans, whole grains, fruits, nuts, seeds, olive oil, as well as moderate consumption of fish. A little bit of poultry, and very, very little red meat. So I think we can see that that is why you can go with a lot more oily item. So the other thing that we like, if you are looking for a meal plan, is that the Mediterranean diet embraces a little bit of wine. So that's supposed to work really well with all that oil. And I quite agree. So even though it seems like it's high in calorie, it's not something that's going to stick in your body and clog all those arteries. What are we doing now, the tzatziki?
Can we get the tzatziki started while you're talking there?
Okay.
I've got water boiling for the couscous, because that'll take just 5 minutes. Couscous is very easy to make, extremely nutritious, and it goes just along with anything.
And if you've never been in our class, that we are like the Rachel Ray. We're going to have like 5 things going at one time, so we're going to do a lot of flipping back and forth. What is that?
Put a little turmeric in here, because in the couscous I made for lunch, we had vegetable stock, and so we used vegetable stock this morning for the couscous. Since I don't have any vegetable stock, and turmeric plays real well with Mediterranean food, I'm just going to put a little turmeric in here.
Ooh, it's a plastic. Okay. See the color? Turmeric is what we call the poor man's saffron. It adds that really gorgeous golden yellow color and a little bit of emulsification to your food, but it is a fraction of the cost. If this was saffron, it would be worth about $5,000.
Exactly.
So,
little couscous seeds, the semolina flour. There's several different kinds of couscous. There's Israeli couscous,
which is the big one,
larger. And then there's the semolina or regular couscous, original.
Couscous is a pasta, believe it or not. It is. It's got the flour, and it's not a gluten-free product, and it cooks really, really quickly. It's been pushed through a real fine sieve, and they're just incredibly beautiful, tiny little balls of starch, basically. He's put a hot product on it. It's immediately swelling, and that's about the hardest part of the couscous. That isn't very hard. Has everybody here tried couscous? Have you made couscous? Have you made it without buying those icky little mixes? Because you don't need those mixes. Yeah, I mean, it's just so simple. It's really inexpensive. The bigger couscous is a ton of fun for salads because it swells really large, and it is, once again, a really perfect little round ball, and it feels good in the mouth. And it's kind of trendy in restaurants now to get, they call it Israeli couscous, to get that kind of large couscous. And so that's setting. So that's for the item down the line, the couscous. Tzatziki is that fresh dip that is made with the very plain yogurt. And because it's there's really nothing in there except for the yogurt, I wouldn't recommend using non-fat or low-fat yogurt. Go for all the health value of that yogurt. And you'll see that there's not a lot of dairy in a Mediterranean diet either. They're going to eat some sheep's milk product and some yogurt, but they're not going to spend a lot of time eating a lot of grilled cheese sandwiches and things like that. And then once again, people that have lived the longest that we know have come from that Balkan Mediterranean area. So if you do want to live to be 105, go ahead and have that yogurt and that oily stuff that Bruce makes.
But everything in moderation, as Mom says.
Can you smell the dill? I hope you can. Always, always, always try and use those fresh herbs. They're just, what a difference. If you live in the middle of the Midwest, maybe you need to use a dried dill. But other than that, you can grow it in your yards here in San Diego. It's at every grocery store. Cucumber, seeded, okay? Because that would be too much water if you didn't seed it. The recipe calls for squeezing it a little bit. Just put it in your nice, clean dish towel and squeeze some of that water out. what you're going to have is that really wonderful chunk. And we picked this recipe because it doesn't have a white onion in it, which I detest, and everybody who knows me knows that. But it would be good with if you like that sort of thing, with a little tiny white onion in there, too. It would be really good. And Bruce loves it.
A little bit of salt.
Did you sneak any onion in this one?
No. I was being good today.
Okay. And so tell me about your salt and pepper.
You're using a little bit of salt, a little bit of white pepper.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer white in this because otherwise you start putting black and you start getting the specks.
It starts to look like tartar sauce.
Back to the couscous real quick. See how it's...
Ooh, is that magic? And look at that gorgeous color. That came from this little bit of magic, okay?
And plus you'll just have a little bit of flavoring for that. So.
Isn't that gorgeous? And it's done. That is simpler than risotto, that is simpler than polenta, that is really a rockin' side dish right there.
As far as the tzatziki goes, it needs a little bit of acid to it. Either lemon juice, white balsamic vinegar. If you have red balsamic or red vinegar, you can use it. Again, I just like to keep it real white and clean, so just using a little bit of white balsamic vinegar.
Bruce loves balsamic vinegars. It's almost impossible to find anything but a balsamic in his repertoire. When we get finished, we've set out several different grades of balsamic, and he's even brought his 40-year-old bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you like your balsamic, we're going to have a little bit of a tasting in a little bit.
We've got balsamic and all kinds of... And it's done. It's ready to go. Refrigerate it until you're ready to eat. You're good to go.
And you know, we can buy all of that tzatziki, but look how easy that was to make. And that's a great low-calorie natural food that you could put on the top of a great spicy soup, dip your vegetables in it, have it in your pita, your falafel. Does anybody here use it for something different? Who said rice? You get a prize, see? We like people who contribute. Here you go. Have a cookbook. Okay, do you get it, guys?
It's
a whole table full of those under there. Okay. So.
Can anyone make falafel from scratch? My storeroom keeper's a strict vegetarian, and he says he makes his falafel from the hydrated garbanzo beans without even rehydrating them, and they're the best. I haven't tried it yet.
That sounds dry, but I would love to try it.
He's a good cook, so I'd have to take his word for it.
Yeah, falafel's a great thing to do. If you're having a party this year for the holidays, little falafel balls would be just so pretty in a chafing dish with this really nice cold tzatziki sauce with it. You're going to make your vegetarian friends really happy instead of pointing to the cheese tray or to the veggie tray for the millionth time. Because let's face it, we are turning into a nation of people who are really avoiding the meat, and there's no reason why we shouldn't be doing that at our parties. It's really a lot of fun. Yes, ma'am.
The falafel's fried.
Well, if it's fried in an olive oil, it's going to just crunch it around the outside. You can also ovenize that, though. Mm-hmm. You can just put it, believe it or not, you could put a little Pam or that food spray that's olive oil flavored, and it would do really well in the oven. You can ovenize French fries. You can ovenize crab cakes. You can do all of those things, and you can, you know, save yourself the calories. But if you want it to be nice and firm, go ahead and do them in the deep fryer. Okay. What are we doing, Chef?
I'm just going to cut up some mission figs.
Figs, another beautiful fruit.
I'm going to go on to the hummus, because then... I cooked the vegetables off already, so they won't take quite so long. And then we'll go right into the Mediterranean sea bass.
So this is a fig that's dried. We grow figs in San Diego. And, you know, San Diego duplicates the Mediterranean climate. So pretty much everything that we're talking about is our true climate, and we should be eating that way. So gorgeous little black mission fig comes from California. Figs are very dense, they're full of sugar, they've got that crunchy seed, so your fiber is there, and they're relatively inexpensive, and they're going to punch that thing up with color. I hope that you guys get into your figs. Yes? The figs? The dried fig?
Yes.
I love to get my dried figs at Trader Joe's, and if people have taken my class, they know that I do buy a few things there. Every single grocery store has them. They're going to be in the fruit area, sort of where they have pistachios and peanuts and things like that. But you can get a really fresher product if you go to a store that has them in small bags like that. They're wonderful.
So what's the other one, the agile, the yellow one?
Is it an animal, vegetable,
no,
mineral?
The mission thing comes from here, and it's the agile that comes from the Middle East.
Oh, I know the medjool day. Okay, I don't know that. I do not know that.
That's what they use a lot. I just got the missions because they were easier to get a hold of, and they're A little more flavorful, in my opinion. Mm.
Good fig. I just took one of your figs, Bruce.
Oh,
I love precision the crunch of them.
I
love the crunch of a fig. And so that's your fig Newton. You can make a fig paste. You can use that in cookies instead of using chocolate. Drop some of that fatty sugar down.
Fig jam on top of cheese.
Okay, what are you doing?
Okay, so I'm getting lost. I'm getting sidetracked here. Let's go to the vegetables. Okay. Getting sidetracked. I'm thinking too many things going on.
Well, you've done a great job. You've gotten your tzatziki, your white bean dip going. We are got the dry part of our couscous. Now we're going to do the second part.
As far as the Moroccan veggies go, it's extremely easy. You're basically making a vegetarian stew. Carrots, parsnips, butternut squash, the onions, a little bit of garlic, sautéing them all off, and basically making just a real nice stew. Add some turmeric again in for a little bit of flavor and coloring. The figs gave the dish quite a bit of color, because actually everything else turns out to be a little bit...
One-handed, you like that?
Like the olive oil.
So this olive oil is actually a blended olive oil. Let's talk about olive oil for a minute. You want to use something that's blended, not an extra virgin olive oil, for cooking. Extra virgin olive oil is just too, first of all, the quality is too high. It's too fresh, and it is going to burn really quickly. It's got some moisture in it. This oil has been blended with something that's going to give it a longer, it's not going to turn on you in the pan. It's not going to burn up. And also, it's not going to cost you a fortune. Extra virgin olive oil is what you do when you want to taste olive oil. Okay, so you want to go ahead and put that on the top of your hummus. Put that in your salad dressings. Extra virgin, and as Rachel Ray says, what? EVOO? Okay. It's the right stuff, but not for every use. And then a traditional couscous, which is a Moroccan dish, would be all of this gorgeous grain, which are this lovely little pasta with these beautiful vegetables, all piled on a platter, and we would be eating it with our flatbreads or with our hands. And that's what they do, and that's a really cool thing to do. We're not going to eat it that way. We've got our forks and knives out there. But it's meant to be. It's a Bedouin dish. It's a dish that you cook it for a long time. You cooked it in a tagine if you wanted to, over the clay. Mm-hmm. Tagine cooking's like the next thing, too. If you don't have your tagine, you're not getting there yet. And... it's just one of those things that isn't an a la minute thing. We're not adding meat to this in a stew. We're going to use it as the base of this gorgeous fish that Bruce has been working on. Okay, so show.
This is just the butternut squash, parsnips, and there's a little bit of garbanzo beans in here also. And some onions. Just lightly sauteed off. Mix it together with a little bit of the figs. The figs give it a little color. We're going to add a little bit more garbanzo beans to it.
I love that. The garbanzo beans are huge in fiber, so definitely add that to your dish if you want. And that they'll never get mushy, so even if those other things break down a little bit, you've got that fabulous garbanzo. And one of the other things you're going to notice in your Moroccan couscous recipe is that it has cumin and cinnamon in it. And those are some terrific, really ancient spices that we find in the Mediterranean food, and it gives it that flavor profile that people love, which is salty sweet. You know, that cinnamon kind of brings it sweet. We love that in our food, don't we? We like a little sweet. So that's how that works. Salty sweet's the way to go.
Just basically ready to go now. Since the beans and the squash and everything's already been sauteed off, your figs can heat up a little bit more. And then what I would do if I was serving this dish.
Do you have a gigando platter?
We have a gigando platter in the other one. I'm going to put it in this bowl for individual
service. Okay, okay.
The other one, the one we're using for this afternoon is actually a paella pan. So we've got everything in large pans. We're not using Schaefer's today.
You know, you just made me realize, that this is sort of the Middle Eastern paella. So it's going to be the rice product or the starch with the local regional vegetables and things that are from all around, baked, served in a thin way so that everybody can get a piece of everything. What other countries have a paella-style dish? I'm trying to think. Spaghetti and meatballs?
Philippines.
The Philippines, what do they do? Pancit. Okay. pretty. I think the color is the number one thing on this. Just gorgeous.
To which dish? Can I just do some?
To the vegetables? We asked for, oh, it's not on there, is it? Well, I would do like a teaspoon. Yeah, I would like it to come out. Look at how beautiful that is. Now, that's how you take a peasant dish and you serve that to your guests one-on-one. And is that outstanding? Do you like that?
And you're setting ready to go.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. And on top of that, you could put your tzatziki. Okay. Excellent.
Your tzatziki, the hummus. When you've got your pita bread.
This is a great tip, you guys.
If you have a gas burner.
Or electric, but gas is best.
As long as it's not induction, you're okay.
They're always a little tough when they come out of the grocery store. Do not be afraid. These are true grill marks on your pita bread when you get it. They've actually come out of some really hot ovens. This is what it's meant to do. Put it right on the flame. It creates a little steam in there. It softens. You rip it up. You stick your stuff in. Fabulous.
Tortillas work like this, too.
Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of your flame. You could leave it on and walk away, actually.
A little bit of family style, and you're set to go. Julia got this yesterday. Where'd you get it?
Oh, I got it at our favorite little market, the Parsian Market up in Convoy. And an Iraqi gentleman was making this, and he had a nice little ball of dough. He punched it down, stretched it to this round. Those are his finger holes in there. Poked it with the finger. Then he slapped that piece on the inside of a big round oven. Let it go for 2 minutes. Took a metal paddle, pulled it out, and sold it to me for $1.29. That is just, it doesn't get any better than that. It was just fantastic. So we bought a whole bunch of these, and I wanted to show you that today. That's, every culture has its tortilla, doesn't it? You know, we've got our pita, we've got our crepe, we've got our strudel, our phyllo, we've got our, he just called it bread. And isn't it, he didn't turn it over. So you always have a side, the bubble side, and then the brown side. I learned something yesterday. For $1.29, that was terrific. So anybody, we should pass this around and let them rip it up, huh?
Yeah.
Anybody want to do that? Excellent. And I have a napkin for
you. A couple of the things we did outside on as far as the pita goes. We had these fried pita chips out there. I don't know if you guys tried these or have ever tried them before.
Thanks. Okay. Okay, these are delightful, aren't they? Everybody loves them. Ladies, would you grab these? Let them go around the room. They're not good for you, okay? Is that a surprise to anybody? They just are just saturated with oil, and it's not our good favorite oil either. So we wanted to make sure that you know that there was lots of other ways to get your goodness out of a piece of pita. I don't know if that's a tradition, a true tradition anywhere, but that's, I mean, they're wonderful. It's Americanized.
Fried.
It's the hardest chip. Yeah. So what is our alternative to that?
The alternative we did out front, we put harissa, which is this right here, which is a very traditional Middle Eastern or Mediterranean spice. And we've got some more right over here that you can taste right up front. Chili, garlic, spicy, and then we just baked them in the oven. They got that crispy texture to them without all the frying and all the fat. And there's also regular pita chips out there that we just cut pita bread into triangles. People really enjoy that, especially when it's warm. So we wanted to show you the difference between the whole fried and baked, where you can get the same concept of having the good food without all the oils from the fat fryer.
Let's talk about kitchen safety while we're talking about our pita bread. One of our favorite little gadgets that Bruce and I absolutely love are these wonderful silicone brushes. And when you're taking your harissa, chili oil, garlic oil, whatever you're going to lightly brush your pita bread, I want you to throw these things away, okay? And I want you to learn to use these wonderful new tools that are these silicone brushes. They don't retain that, oof, whatever that is down at the bottom, this rust on this brush. The hairs go into the food, don't they? You're brushing along and then you're pulling the little hairs out. So these have come way, way down in price. And we actually have a few for people who ask great questions. So we love, love, love this. Now, he's added the harissa. Look at that. Isn't that great?
Just that's pretty simple. Spicy. You could put it right on top of the fry, on top of the stove, heat it up there. You can cut it up, throw it in the oven, either or.
I have another wild one. We use Pam with garlic and just a little bit more oil, and we sprayed all of the pita bread, put it on a cookie sheet, and it was really good. And I think that had, like, really low calories on it. It was very, very good and cost absolutely nothing.
Using, like, olive oil infuser where you can pump the olive oil out.
Yeah.
Those work really well.
Okay.
People love to put Parmesan cheese on top and herbs and...
But see, your pita bread's really only good, what, 1 or 2 days, and then you got to do something else with it. So this is what you do. You either freshen it up this way or turn it into pita chips, okay? Okie dokie.
As far as the hummus goes, garbanzo beans, garlic, red bell peppers, olive oil, and a little bit of salt. You're set and ready to go. Right here, I've got garbanzo beans in a little container.
Ah, you can use your gadget.
A little bit of olive oil.
Okay.
I actually don't own a food processor. And many people are probably saying you're crazy, but I don't. Need a little water?
Yeah, water's a very common ingredient that I noticed in the recipes to add to thin instead of all of the lemon juice and tahini, which can get kind of crazy.
You know what we're going to do?
The pita bread?
Yes.
Well, what temperature? 350?
The pita bread, hot till done.
No, okay.
Hot till done. I would say 350, nothing over 400 because it's going to burn, nothing too low because you're not going to get that color. You want that fat to give it a little color. Yeah.
You know more in about 10 minutes, 7 to 10 minutes.
7 to 10?
Yeah.
I turn it over. I give it a shake. I have a brand new kitchen with a brand new oven, and 2 years later we realized that this fabulous oven is not very accurate. I keep throwing things away. Hi, I have a question in the back.
Where do you get Harissa?
Harissa, you know what? Bruce has... contacts at Crate and Barrel, and this is the Crate and Barrel style. And what does this retail for?
A lot. $5.99.
There's nothing at Crate and Barrel for $5.99.
Not one.
Are you kidding me? Okay, so that is your whoopee-doo harissa. It's got a real pretty jar. It's got a beautiful, beautiful Moroccan label. And if you're at my favorite little neighborhood markets, this is the brand that they use. This was $1.29. Believe me, a little bit of this goes a long way. This is a 5-year supply of harissa, and I hope that you all come up and put a little tasting spoon in there and give it a try. It's something.
How are you spelling it?
H-A-R-I-S-S-A.
How long does it stay good for?
I think forever. It's got a little vinegar in it. It's got a little bit of oil, so it's stabilized. I would never leave it in a little jar, though, a little metal can in the refrigerator. We all know that food safety thing, right? Get it into something that's not going to be reactive. All right. Okay, rip that bread. Have some fun. $1.29. Can't beat it. The real deal. So Bruce is using the immersion blender. This is actually one of my very favorite tools also. You can put that immersion blender in your bean soup, and all of a sudden your butternut or bean soups are all pureed. Blue cheese dressing in 1 second. Two or three plunges, and you've got guacamole.
This isn't working very well for this one, no.
Yeah. Oops.
Do you recommend any certain brand or power or something?
Well, mine that never malfunctions is right here. And it was a Braun. And you know what? I've had others. I've had battery operated. No go. Would you like to borrow my immersion blender? There you go, dear.
No, not the hand, just the blender.
It better work. Yeah, I love my Braun, and they're under $40, and they're wonderful. Hey, another gadget that I am madly in love with is my electronic scale. They used to be very, very, very expensive. Now they are about $40, and they will tell you, they'll do all your conversions from grams into the ounces. They can be evened out. Cooking with the scale is a great thing to do. And especially if you're cutting your fillets of fish and you want to make sure you're getting the right sizes. So that's my favorite thing, and they're way, way, way down in price now. So he's putting in tahini.
I think I need to go buy a new immersion blender.
Yeah, mine seems to be working. Yeah, so the Roland tahini, everybody has tahini. You can find it all different varieties at the little international stores too. It's just sesame paste, sesame seeds and oil. And that's our hummus.
Your hummus?
Everybody makes hummus, right? We're all eating it, making it, loving it, putting it on our vegetarian foods. Okay, very good.
It's so easy, too, because you can change it so easily.
Oh, this is cool.
Red bell pepper in there.
This is cool, cool, yeah. So that red pepper hummus that you're buying, this is what they've done. They've taken some red pepper,
Take a red bell pepper, throw it right on top of the fire, char it on
right
the sides.
There.
And you've got roasted red bell pepper hummus. And I'm wearing it.
Okay. We love our hummus. Hummus like that you can keep in the refrigerator for about 4 days and then it needs to go. Olive oil doesn't hold as well in the in food as other oils do. It's fresh, it's got some more fruit in it, and it will go rancid. Be careful not to keep your olive oil next to your stove or in a, you know, over your hood, all those nice hot places in your kitchen, because it will be rancid. And I recommend that you taste your olive oil before you put it in any food. Have you ever put the oil in and gone, oh, something's not right, and you can't get it back out, right? So taste the olive oil. Rarely does that happen with, you know, our regular canola oils, but it does happen with olive oil. Yes, sir.
And for the fish?
Okay. Fish, we used our silicone brush to brush the paste of harissa, because we like it spicy. And kids, what else did we put on the fish? Who's out there wants to tell me? For a prize, who wants to tell me what's on the fish? Okay, we have our turmeric and our olive oil. So he's put it in a little dish and then he's rubbed it on the fish. Who gave me that answer?
Put it on the fish right now. Salt, pepper, olive oil. Put a little bit of turmeric on here.
You're welcome. See, we had another winner. Whew, a lot of color. Beautiful, beautiful. So that's kind of a rub, right? We don't call it a rub, but that's what it is.
Nice little wet rub. Mm-hmm. We're set. And then for the sauce for this one, the sauce on this one is extremely easy. We're taking garlic, onions, whole olives, diced tomatoes, peeled and diced tomatoes, and then I actually did a little bit of candy and on some lemon slices, just add a little bit of sweetness to it. So I'm changing up the recipe a little bit.
Thank you, Bruce.
My prerogative. I just like change things around.
So for those of you that can't figure out what we're doing the Mediterranean sea bass with olives, pickled lemons, and it is by Bruce Milsom. It's brand new, never been tried before. So pretty similar to a French style of cooking, a la minute, okay? You're not going to bake this a long time in the oven. You're going to do a pan sauce. Very, very cool. So this is going to be for your vegetables?
Yes.
Very good. He's using a sea bass today. You have to use a pretty firm fish, okay? And you want to use fish that's of the region, so that could be a whole fish in one of the Mediterranean countries. There's a lot of eating fish with skin on, bones in. I don't do that, but you could do that too if you want to be more authentic.
Theory is that it takes roughly about 10 minutes to cook an inch of fish. So about something this size, you're cooking about 4 or 5 minutes on each side. I've already part cooked a little bit because I knew it was going to be sitting out here and I didn't want raw fish sitting out here and flies flying around.
Aww. That would be very Mediterranean, though.
It would be. Don't want to be quite that authentic.
Just make sure it looks like this, okay?
Okay, it'll look like that, I guarantee it.
Okay.
A little bit of garlic.
We've got some pretty books.
A little bit of onion in here, just because I'm doing it just for one.
And the onion has been julienned, so you've taken it and cut it almost into half moons. I wish we'd seen you cut an onion. It's always fun, isn't it, to watch how people... Everybody cuts an onion differently. That's what I like. So you've chopped that garlic fresh?
Oh, yeah. Always chop your garlic fresh. Unless you're going to use it, like, later on today, always chop it fresh. This recipe actually calls for sliced. You'll get a little bit more texture from it. You get a little bit more flavoring from it if you chop it real fine. You can see it's burning now.
See, I never put my garlic in until the onions have gotten a little softer because they're going to cook so much faster. And I do not like a raw onion, right? No, not for me. So that's how I do
mine. Raw red onion.
Can't take it. Beautiful. Nice.
Then you just flip your fish over and you got about 5 minutes on that side. And by that time, you're about 3/4 of the way done with the sauce here.
There you go.
Multitasking here.
Do you want me to show, I better not mess with this fish.
No, it's probably done actually.
I think it is. Are we gonna finish it in here?
No, we'll put it right in the bowl.
See this? This is a fish lifter. Isn't that great? Another cool
can you
little
put. Over?
Oh yeah.
There we go.
You see the color? Can you see it in the mirror? In the camera? Oh, gorgeous. On or off?
Left. Off.
Okay. Other left?
Right.
Okay, we've got a nice little pan sauce, okay? This isn't going to have any cream in it. It's not going to have any extra butter. Did you start with a little olive oil?
A little bit of olive oil. Your vegetables in there. They go translucent on you. Throw your tomatoes in. If you wanted, you could throw a little bit of wine in here. It wouldn't be too Mediterranean, but you could.
Sure it would.
It's very big to use rose water. And if anyone wants to try some,
I've got
I think
rose
there's
water
a bottle somewhere of rose water. Real big down there. They use it at weddings for the bride and groom, and they pass out. Interesting flavor.
Who's passing out?
No, they're passing out rose water to drink.
Oh, okay.
That's out of wedding.
I heard him talk about people passing out at a wedding, but I don't know. Excellent. So this
he also
is...
talked about chopping up the olives in the recipe. Again, if I'm doing it for a large party, you're going to throw whole olives in there. One, it gives you a little bit of texture to your plate. Two, it gives you a bold green color to it. Three, it makes it a lot easier than trying to chop olives that are sliding all over on the cutting board. So I leave them whole quite a bit. Another thing about safety is talking about cutting boards. The big thing these days is a cutting board, whether it be wooden or plastic. The real big thing now is having multicolored. I know people aren't going to have four or five colored cutting boards at their house, but it is real big now to have, you know, one or two cutting boards. The lemon goes in.
Show me the lemon one more time. Isn't that beautiful? Nice little slivers of lemon. Very big, very important part of the dish. What does it taste like?
A little sweet. It could be a
it's
little
like
bit
candy.
Sweet.
It's so good. So what'd you put on that? Rose water?
That was rose water and sugar. A little rose water, simple syrup.
And how did you get it soft? Did you cook it?
I cooked it. I put it in the, boiled the rose water and the simple syrup, threw those in there. You're good to go.
He's been very busy. I did not know that. Let's pass this
around. We try.
It's nice and messy. Let's pass it around. It's really yum. Okay. And you didn't have to add a lot of salt because those olives are salty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. And for that, if you wanted it to be a little soupier sauce, you could certainly add a little bit of broth, a little water.
Yeah, a little bit of anything
wine.
You really want.
Okay, dry white wine would be excellent.
And then basically you're taking your fish. Set your fish just right in the center.
See, that's a real restaurant thing, isn't it, to have that fish stacked like that? Cool. Pretty.
Pour that right over it. Wipe your plate down. Garnish it with anything from mint to dill. Julia loves mint, so we'll put a little mint on here.
Not so much. Okay. I just don't like it on chocolate desserts.
And you're setting ready to go.
Isn't that gorgeous? Let's hear it for
there's
Chef Bruce.
There's always parsley, too. We've got fly Italian parsley.
I love it. And, you know, the portions aren't huge. There's not a lot of breading. There's no breading on this. So we've really made it a very, what is that, 7-ingredient dish pretty quickly, really healthy, and a lot of flavor. That's gorgeous.
Thank you. That's what the whole Mediterranean thing, like Julia was talking about earlier. They're using the food from their region, the fish that they have there, what little poultry they have. You don't see a whole lot of cheeses in their diet. It's like the legumes, the olives, the fish. So it's just keeping with what's in your region. That's one thing that we're trying to do here on campus also. We'd be going very sustainable and trying to get the footprint of 250 miles. So all the food we're using is very local. Trying to stay green, keep the, you know, Earth around for a couple more generations.
Oh, yeah.
So, as far as the rice pudding goes, I have one question.
Of who?
the audience.
Okay.
There are 5 different colors of cutting boards. it's not anywhere in there. I'm just wondering if anyone has anything other than like a wooden cutting board at their house and knows some of the colors that the cutting boards come in and what they're used for.
Oh, have an answer.
Some people do.
I have a green one for vegetables.
Right, green for veggies.
Exactly.
White for fish.
And way in the back?
It's orange for chicken.
Okay.
Orange or yellow?
The cutting mats,
The flexible ones.
And you lay them over your cutting board and then you switch it out every time. Well, in my family, we don't even worry about the color. We write it right on with the magic marker because it really, you don't know who's coming into your house. So it says meat or veggie or cheese and things like that. And that's what I do because I have a lot of people touching food. Okay.
So the colorsness is right on there.
Oh, that's great. So it's already identified. What they won't think of next. Pictures. Excellent. Wow. Another thing about cutting boards is I've got more and I'm using smaller. You know, everybody always had these really, really huge cutting boards. I'm using the little ones and I'm quickly throwing them in the dishwasher or quickly throwing them, you know, right back in the sink instead of all this heavy stuff. And it just seems to make a lot more sense instead of one cutting board that everything went on that you didn't really want to clean because it was too big for your sink. So there you go. Bruce?
As far as the rice pudding goes, the rice pudding actually is one of those items that could be done right at the end. Takes very, like, 15 minutes. Not one of those items that you'd probably want to put on a buffet or you'd really want to make if you were going to have sit-down time with your family. Because it's one of those things you're going to be doing in the kitchen, and then theoretically you're going to kind of send it out relatively soon.
However, we kind of invented it in a different way today. We thought of how much fun to have a rice pudding bar. So we've made the rice pudding, and then we're going to give you the segmented oranges, pistachios, dates, and pomegranate seeds to put on top of your rice pudding. And I think that would be really fun. And that's healthier, and it's Mediterranean, and it's a dessert. And we made that up, and you may steal that idea. Okay.
Steal away.
Okay, and in terms of going green, I just wanted to say one other thing that has helped me in my kitchen not feel so bad about my impact on the environment, and that is that I've turned into one of these crazy old ladies that recycles these things. I used to laugh, but, you know, everybody is over-packaging, and we want them to package it separately because we're very concerned about our food safety and that it's what we bought is only what we bought. So they're really putting a lot of money into these, and it's a pity to not use them several times. So I've done a couple of things where I'm taking gifts to people. I usually take the Vons label off. And so you throw a cute little napkin in there, you put your brownies in there, you hand it to the folks. I love the little crab cans when you buy that lovely lump crab. For those of you who have had my classes where I do the crab cakes, I'm crazy about this crab. Well, this is an incredibly well-made piece. I've probably used it 50 times. It goes in and out of the dishwasher. That was supposedly a throwaway. Oasis hummus that you're buying at Costco, these are fabulous containers. They have terrific snap-down lids. Go ahead and use them again. I really recommend it. So that's my green pitch for today, and you'll feel better, and your food won't have to be overpackaged because we're going to get multiple uses out of it.
Go ahead.
Okay, we'll split that prize, and you know what, not more than a year if it's been opened, and if you've kept it in deep chill, because if it's come from Greece or Italy, it's already come, and it's already getting some age on it. So the best olive oil is the extra virgin olive oil that comes from cold pressing of the olives, and it is the most perishable, and it has absolutely no other oils in it. So that's your highest quality olive oil, and you should be almost drinking that. It's so fresh. It's like a wine, basically.
So it's true that it's sensitive to light?
Very sensitive. Your bet is either ceramic, or better than ceramic is the stainless steel, because nothing can come in, and the ceramic's a little bit porous, so it will allow things in, whereas the stainless steel pitcher or pot won't allow anything to get in light or otherwise.
We have a question here.
If you use the extra virgin occasionally, is it good to keep it in the refrigerator? And take it out?
You know, you can. It gets cloudy.
Yeah.
And it does come back. So I don't really see why. Anybody have another experience with that? I don't have room in my refrigerator for anything else, so I leave it near. That might not be bad. It's going to slow down your cooking time. So if you put it into a cold, hot pan, it's going to...
But other than the temperature.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything wrong with that.
We keep our olive oil in the refrigerator, and we remember to take it out before we start preparing.
Okay, so it's common practice to keep it in the fridge. Okay, very good. Those are good questions. Hi.
So the olive oil blend for cooking, is it blended just with corn oil? Or?
Well, they will only say other oils. Pure olive oil are usually a blend of refined and virgin or extra olive oil. So something that says pure olive oil is generally not all olive oil. Virgin olive oil has less acidity and it has a good taste. Olive oil all by itself is a blend of virgin oil and refined oil with less acidity. It commonly lacks a strong flavor. And, you know, and sometimes you don't want a strong flavor. You want it to be a little bit lighter. So, and remember, all those blends are going to have a better temperature, better smoking point. Are we getting ready to eat?
I just wonder if anyone knows how long the tahini keeps.
Forever. You know, they give you tahini in these huge jars, and it always separates. You've always got your oil at the top and your dry, and it keeps until you can't emulsify them anymore. You can't, get them back together. Oh, I've had them longer than that. But then, really, at some point, just throw it away. I wish I'd make it smaller. I've thought about making my own tahini, you know, just sesame seeds and some oil, but I haven't gotten to that level yet. Ooh.
What about the Greek yogurt? What's the difference between the Greek? I mean, the Greek yogurt seems sweeter. Is that what it is?
It's good. It has no thickeners in it. I don't know anything more about it than that. It's just a really wonderful yogurt. What do you know?
I don't know anything about
that. Yeah, you can make cheese out of Greek yogurt. You can just strain it through a cheesecloth, and all the liquid will come out, and what you'll have is this beautiful yogurt cheese. It's really good.
So would you ever use it for the...
I think I would use it all the time. I think I would use it all. It doesn't have to be that sweet. Some of it's sweetened extra, yeah. Hi.
Actually, at Trader Joe's, there's the two organic. There's the organic that's not Greek and the organic that's Greek. The Greek organic yogurt... It doesn't have as much sugar in it. So I think that they're taking off more of the whey and taking out more of that, letting more of the liquid go out of it so that it's got more.
It's very thick. It's really thick. It's almost like eating a
pudding.
Like a pudding, yeah. And that with chopped dates in it, ooh, so good. You can tell I like dates, too. How are we doing for time? Okay, very good. So I think that we've talked to you about, let's just refresh, we've talked about olive oil, we've talked about being green, we've talked about the fabulous benefits of the Mediterranean diet, which we really are crazy about, and we've made our fish, our couscous. I think it's looking pretty good. Do we have some more questions from the audience?
Garlic, I use one of those like garlic presses.
Mm-hmm.
Now we see people, chefs, chopping it. Is there a big difference?
It's, garlic. Let's talk about something not controversial. Ooh, everybody's got a garlic story.
A lot of it really depends on how you're using it, because if you're going to chop it, it'll take me a lot less time than somebody else to chop. You're bruising it. A lot of chefs will just take the side of their chef knife, bruise the garlic, throw it in the oil, and then basically take the whole clove out. My theory is you're putting the garlic in there to flavor the oil, so everything that goes in your pan has a little bit of garlic flavor to it. Rather than a lot of cooks or chefs will take and put everything in and throw the garlic in at the end, and so you don't get the flavors throughout. My grandmother always used to yell at me because she'd say, you always use garlic in everything. Put garlic in everything you make. And so I tried to...
Yes.
I backed off, though.
Yeah.
So it all really depends on how much you want the flavor of garlic to come out.
Right. When you shave the garlic, that's flavorful. You've exposed all of those cells to the air, and that's why it's just so wonderful. You've got so much surface area that's exposed. And a lot of people lift that out afterwards. It's easier to lift that out. So they've given it they've sort of infused the cooking oil, and then they've pulled it out. There's a really cute little thing on this tzatziki sauce, and my husband actually cooks this way because he's all about making the paste. It says, spread the salt on your chopping board and chop the garlic on top of the salt. Then you pick it up with your knife and you put it in. That means that the salt and the garlic have become as one, and that's a wonderful way to do any of your rubs on your steaks, your pork, your chicken, your fish. You mash that salt with your garlic and spices, and ooh, it's just wonderful. Also stick it in a mortar and pestle if you like, but that's a real, if you want to impress somebody, you just mash that salt and that garlic, pick it up, put it in, you know, you've won. You've won that one. Any, yes?
What kind of beverage drinks go well with Mediterranean?
White? Dry white wine and strong beer are the things that I see, but I mean red wine definitely, especially if you were going to have some lamb with this or some darker fish, some oilier fish. But yeah, yeah, doesn't that sound good? Yeah, they seem to drink a lot of very, very sharp white wine. Rosalie.
Can you give us some pointers for removing the paper on the outside of the garlic, that white kind of covering?
There's a gadget.
There's several gadgets. Like the young lady back here was saying, if you use a garlic press, most of your garlic presses will catch all the skin off of it.
Yeah.
You can also take the garlic and basically put it on the cutting board and rub it with your hand back and forth, and it should fall off. They now have these garlic peelers that look like cannelloni.
Right.
And it's vinyl, and you just rub it back and forth, and the paper comes out one side, and the garlic goes out the other.
The friction takes it off. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or you can lose the bottom of your garlic. Really simple. Just cut the root off, and then it'll slip off. You can blanch your garlic if you're going to be doing a ton of it. I would blanch it real quickly, and then everything will slip right out with a little bit of that. Yeah. But I love that masher that you stick the whole thing in, and only the good stuff comes out. That's a good one. And then it has a little cleaner brush on it, too. I love that. Hi. Oh yeah, just like the chefs on TV. That's what you would see. You would not see in any restaurant little tiny garlic rollers or little mashers, believe me. They do everything with a French knife, they would. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, 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 right. Okay, those are some great questions. Alrighty.
Anything else?
I think we should.
I believe it's all ready. Let me go check in the kitchen. I've been seeing my assistant back there screaming at me through the door, so hold on one second.
Some good news about the recipes for folks that weren't able to come. These are going to be on the website at for UC San Diego Housing, Dining, and Hospitality. So there'll be a link to recipes. And at that time, there'll also be nutritional values to his recipes. So very cool. More questions?
Uncle Ben's, right?
Yes. No, Uncle Ben's is just slightly parboiled. It works fine. You can use any rice. You know, I love the Arborio rice because it gets real creamy. I know. I asked him what to use. He said Uncle Ben, so that's what went in the recipe. You got to be honest about these things. Okay?
The other thing is, I did make one other dessert. I've never made this dessert before, but I'm going to try new things. It is a dried fruit. It's actually a Mediterranean delicacy. It's a fried, dried fruit tart with rose water, eggs, and cinnamon in the custard. The dried fruit's all been marinated in rose water, and so it looks real good. I haven't tasted it yet, so hopefully it works out.
Thumbs up for that, we hope, yeah.
And so we're ready to go. So whenever you're ready, food's all out back. Enjoy, and don't forget to taste the olive oil and the vinegar.
You're welcome.
It was wonderful. To those of you who are at your desks, I hope you have an opportunity to go to the website, get the recipes, and make some of these delicious dishes. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a UC San Diego Blinkcast. For more, visit us online at blinkcast.ucsd.edu.